What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Mavs Film Room podcast. We're recording this on Wednesday, April 17th. It's midway through the week between the end of the Mavericks regular season and the start of the NBA playoffs, in which the Mavericks will face the Los Angeles Clippers for the third time in 5 years. It's the third installment of this Mavs versus Clippers trilogy. A lot of storylines headlining this matchup. A lot of revenge, I think, is in store for the Mavericks, for Luka Doncic in particular. And yeah, I mean, this is a chance to finally slay the demon that has been the LA Clippers, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Tyronn Lue. All these guys are familiar faces for the Mavericks. And so it's going to be a dogfight of the series, in my opinion. But first, just got to talk about for a second the great regular season the Mavericks had. They finished 50 and 32. For the fifth seed in the Western Conference. They finished the season winning 16 of their last 20 games. They turned into a team that I think many people are regarding as a title contender going into the playoffs. So I'm joined here with Vinay. Vinay, how are you doing today in this week before the playoffs?
Good. I mean, wish they played a little bit sooner, but I mean, it's not a bad, I guess, to have a little bit of a break before stressful basketball begins. Stressful and fun basketball because you have to enjoy these moments. Because last year, as we know, unfortunately, we didn't get to enjoy this.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the playoffs are not something that you should take for granted, as we learned the hard way last year, but it's great to be back in this position for the second time in 3 years as a team that I think has potential to do something. But it does seem like this first round matchup against the Clippers might be one of the toughest tests that the Mavs have ahead of them when you look at the bracket and what could potentially happen afterwards. But we got to be focused on this game one. That's the immediate priority.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We haven't seen Luka and Kyrie in the playoffs before. Obviously, we're all super excited to see that. We've never seen Luka with this type of center platoon before in the playoffs. We're excited to see that. All sorts of stuff. I think Mavs fans should be super optimistic. The Clippers are going to be a tough matchup, as we'll dive into here, but we should like what we have on our side.
Exactly. And a lot of the calculus of this matchup does hinge on Kawhi Leonard's injury status, whether he's going to be available for game one, whether he's going to be available for the whole series, whether he's healthy, whether he's not healthy. That's the big question right now. But I think that the Mavericks have to prepare as if he's going to be healthy and playing for the entire series. Obviously, the Mavs and Clippers have faced each other twice before this in the playoffs, once in 2020 in the bubble. That one ended in six games. Kristaps Porzingis got hurt in the middle of that series and couldn't finish. In 2021, the Mavericks and Clippers went to seven games. Unfortunately, the Mavs just ran out of steam there at the end. But now this year, I think, is the best team that Luka Doncic has had in his career. It's different. It's a different team than the Clippers have seen from the Mavericks earlier this season. All three matchups with the Clippers happened before the trade deadline, so it was a much different team that they faced. So what's different, I think, beside, from these previous two matchups? I mean, Kyrie Irving is the obvious answer, but it's so much more than that.
Well, I think it has to start with Kyrie Irving because, I mean, Luka was asked the same question yesterday and he said, "We have Kai." I mean, it basically is that simple for me. Like, this is a future Hall of Fame player. Luka's never played with the caliber of his type in the playoffs before. Brunson wasn't even as good as he is now in New York. He was in 2022. I know he had a great Jazz series, but he just wasn't like as good as Kyrie Irving is now. So we're all excited to see that. And then, the size is a huge thing in the playoffs. Like, we've seen teams like the Lakers, Nuggets, more recently, kind of dominate with their size, with points in the paint, with rim protection. And the Mavericks have addressed those needs. That was a big reason why they didn't make the play-in last year, didn't make the playoffs last year, was because they didn't have size, they didn't have rim protection, and all this sorts of stuff. So now they addressed it with Gafford. I'm really excited to see Derek Lively. Like, I think Jason Kidd has shown, even in the big games, especially against the Nuggets, like he'll throw Derek Lively out there in big crucial moments of the game against, the best player in the world, to Simon Jokic. So I think he's another player that I think a lot of people are forgetting about in terms of the differences from this year and past years. I just think, his defensive ability is, I think, a lot higher than I think a lot of people give it credit for.
Yeah, no, I'm just looking at this box score from Game 7 of the 2021 series. I mean, it's remarkable how the Mavericks made that series competitive. I mean, Luka Doncic was was dominated that series as we remember, but Kristaps Porzingis was just wasn't playing up to what we needed out of a co-star in that series. That was something the Mavericks lacked, was secondary scoring. Tim Hardaway Jr. was that guy for the Mavericks for about half the series, but then in the second half of that series, he completely fell off. He had 11 points on 5 for 14 shooting, 1 for 9 from 3 in game 7. He played 43 minutes in that game, believe it or not. He's now a bench player for the Mavericks. Boban Marjanovic started that series at center along with Kristaps Porzingis because the Mavs were just struggling so hard for rim protection and paint defense. That's not an issue for the Mavericks anymore with Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively. And then secondary shot creation, I think, was something that they lacked sorely out in that series. I mean, Jalen Brunson in game 7, he wasn't the Jalen Brunson that we saw in 2022, of course, and was not even close to the Jalen Brunson we see today. He played 10 minutes in that game 7, had just 2 points. And so this Mavs team is a lot more complete now than it was back then. I think it's just going to be a matter of making sure that they can play their style of basketball and don't get forced to make too many uncomfortable adjustments by the Clippers.
Yeah, and the Clippers, the whole coaching staff on the Mavericks know that they're going to see the Clippers go small. And that's like, if there's one, in that 5 losses and 6-game stretch, the big thing was teams being able to spread the Mavericks out and trying to, just expose their kind of perimeter defense and rim protection back then. Lively or Gafford wasn't playing as much back then as he is now. Now he's like a legit starter every night. And during that 5 and 6 stretch, he wasn't that. But, Jason Kidd kind of being able to trust Lively and Gafford to play against those smaller lineups is going to be crucial. Because I think he still has his safety net is going to be Maxey at the 5, PG at the 4, I think, in the playoffs. And I think that's going to be a lineup that closes a lot of games, is Luka, Kyrie, Exum, PJ, and Maxey.
Yeah, I agree with that. That seems like a safe bet, and that lineup has been very successful for the Mavericks this season. I didn't even mention PJ Washington. You just mentioned him right now. I think that PJ Washington is probably going to be the primary defender on Kawhi Leonard in this series. I mean, if you recall in the 2021 series and 2020 series, I mean, it was really Dorian Finney-Smith and Maxi Kleber taking turns being the primary Kawhi Leonard defender. But as we saw in those series often, especially in the case of Maxi Kleber, they just could not last for the entire series without sacrificing something. And in that case, it was their offense. Mavericks didn't get much offense from Maxi or Dorian in those 2020 series just because they were so worn down from being the body defending Kawhi Leonard.
Well, they also don't have the offensive skills that PJ has either. Like PJ can do more stuff offensively than those guys can. Maybe Dorian's a better corner shooter, but maybe a better 3-point shooter overall. But PJ just has more versatility to his game, and that's another big difference from this series and past series is having PJ Washington and Derrick Jones Jr. Like, the Mavericks were desperate for wing size in 2020, especially. Like that's why they made that move to trade Seth Curry for Josh Richardson, and that move did not pan out at all. And their big trade acquisition played very little in the 2021 series, which another difference is the trade acquisitions that Nico made, I guess, are factoring more into the playoff rotation this time around. But in the 2021 series, I mean, none of the acquisitions that they got from the draft or the trades, Josh Green, Tyrell Terry, Tyler Bay, none of them factored into that playoff series.
Yeah, just looking at that box score again, Josh Richardson, who was a big acquisition that season. Game 7, he had 6 minutes. He was 0 for 1 from the field, 2 turnovers, 0 points. So that's just really tough, when your big acquisition can't even get on the floor. And Josh Green was a rookie that year, was a DNP in that game. I expect him to be a contributor for the Mavericks in this series. I want to talk a little bit about maybe the bench, because I think that's probably one of my biggest question marks or maybe concerns in this series. And correct me if maybe my fears are unfounded, but I do think that the Clippers may possess an advantage in the bench. I mean, they have guys like Russell Westbrook, who's been pretty key for them off the bench. They have Amir Coffey. I guess, I don't know about PJ Tucker, Norman Powell.
Norman Powell is the big one that I'm worried about, and I think Westbrook's going to be arguably, like, if you take out the stars, take out Harden's a, I'm kind of considering Harden a star. If you take out all the stars out of the series, like Russell Westbrook might be the most important player for both teams, just because he's going to be, I think, guarding Luka and Kyrie a lot during the series, and he's just kind of like the bench element that you talked about. Like, I mean, teams don't even play all bench lineups really anymore. Like, regardless of whatever lineup we have, we're going to have Luka or Kyrie on the floor. So I'm not really concerned about the bench as much as you are, to be honest with you. Like, I know the Clippers have better bench personnel, but there's still ways to mitigate that with the lineups you play, like staggering Luka, Kyrie, like Jason Kidd has always done since the trades happened. They just have to, you know, I don't know if they found a consistent path towards the non-Luka minutes, but I think the non-Luka minutes have to have Kyrie and Exum at a minimum. And then I personally think Kyrie does better with space as opposed to the center thing, but the Lively Gafford give you, you know, more pros than cons with not having, with them not being able to space. So, you know, that's another tough dilemma that Jason Kidd has.
Yeah, and I think that kind of reminds me of maybe one of my keys for this series probably is like being able to keep Lively and Gafford. You know, we talk a lot about staggering the minutes between Luka and Kyrie and having one of them on the floor at all times. I think the same could possibly be said about Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford, like having one of them on the floor at all times. I mean, maybe save for some of those closing moments where we go small with PJ Washington and Maxi Kleber. How important do you think it is to have one of those two centers on the floor just to allow the Mavericks to not only protect the rim effectively, but also play the style of basketball that we've gotten accustomed to seeing from them, which is dominating the points in the paint?
I mean, yeah, I think it's going to be important to see that. I want to see, you know, Jason Kidd hasn't really been tested, you know, in this recent great stretch that the Mavericks have been on with teams going kind of five out with small lineups. And he hasn't really been like forced to make a decision on leaving Gafford or Maxi out there just because we haven't played that sort of team or we haven't been in that sort of game. So I want to see like what he does when it's like crunch time or like, you know, whatever it is that, how he plays, if he's comfortable with Gafford and Lively like playing out there guarding on the perimeter, because that's what they have to be doing if the Clippers are playing five out, and the Clippers are going to go to it. Like, I don't think Zubac is going to play closing minutes in each of the halves. Like, I don't think that's a recipe for success for the Clippers. And there are other centers I just don't think are playable when Luka's on the floor.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Mavericks definitely have an advantage in the front court for the first time in this trilogy. I think, you know, both Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively, I would take them over Ivica Zubac, not only because of their skill as a player, but also just because of their versatility. I do think that it's a little bit harder to expose Lively and Gafford as traditional non-shooting bigs. I think that they can rotate and switch better than the average traditional center. Whether or not that comes to fruition is a different question, but I'm optimistic about that. I think that they won't get played off the floor like a lot of times a Rudy Gobert, for example, or Zubac, as we've seen, it can happen to them in the playoffs. One other question I had about this series is, you know, in the past, the Clippers were often regarded as the worst possible matchup for the Mavericks because of the two-way prowess of both Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, and the size and strength of that team and those two guys specifically provided in comparison to the Mavericks, which were, you know, a much smaller and softer team. That doesn't appear to be the case now, but how much of that two-way advantage do the Clippers still have over the Mavericks when you have those two top guys on the floor?
I mean, the thing with the Clippers is, and what they've had issues with in the past is kind of just having like an elite rim protector type. And that's why they haven't been, I don't think, like a consistent, like, you know, they have consistency issues with their defense. Like, I don't know where they finished the season, but I know for the post All-Star break, they were like 19th or something like that. We probably should look this up before, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, the Clippers haven't been playing consistent defense, like with the personnel that they have. Like, it's not just about your perimeter defense in the NBA. And those guys are stars. Like, they're not going to be locked in on defense necessarily every play. And the Clippers had focus issues throughout the season. That also ties in with defense. So, I mean, I don't really get caught up in the whole, like, who's the worst matchup for the Mavericks. Like, I like the Mavericks team as it is. Like, I think they're built to play anyone right now. So, Clippers are going to be – they're a good team on paper, especially, and I think they've shown flashes of being a contender throughout the season. And we've all seen what Kawhi Leonard can do in the playoffs, not just with personal experiences, but just watching him do it to other teams too. Like, he has a bona fide playoff resume as, like, besides LeBron, probably the best playoff performer of this, like, generation.
Yeah, I mean, you can never count out Kawhi Leonard because of what he's done. Two-time NBA champion, two-time finals MVP. I mean, his resume speaks for itself. But, yeah, to your point, I don't think that the Clippers are as fearsome of a defensive team as they used to be. I mean, they were hardly elite this season. They were just looking at the stats right now. I mean, they were the 16th rated defense in the NBA. The Mavericks, for context, were 18th. Clippers were 114.6 per 100 possessions. Mavericks were 114.9 in the season per 100 possessions. So they are roughly equal defensive teams, but if you look at the post-trade deadline sample size, which I think is what we're kind of evaluating, because that's when this iteration of the Mavericks was born, the Mavericks have been a top 10 defense in the NBA at 110.6 per 100 possessions. That ranks seventh in the NBA since the trade deadline. The Clippers, on the other hand, 115.2, which is 23rd in the NBA. So they've definitely suffered a post-trade deadline fall off in their defense, which I think also saw them play closer to 500. They were 17 and 15 since the trade deadline. The Mavericks were 22 and 9 since the trade deadline. So it's been a tale of two different teams in the second half of the season. But again, it's a new season now in the playoffs, and I think you can never be too sure with the Clippers.
No, exactly. And I think the Clippers are scary offensively more so than they are defensively. Like, James Harden's a different element that they haven't had in the last two Clippers series from their standpoint. Norman Powell didn't play in those two Maverick series, I know that for sure. And he's the type of player that I've seen, especially last year against the Suns. I remember him having some big shooting games in the playoffs. So he's the type of guy that he's like a better version of Tim Hardaway Jr. in that same role for them. Westbrook, we know, like, I think there's a little bit of a thing between Westbrook and Luka. Like, I don't know how far back it goes, but I just like notice every time that they play each other. I think I have an idea of why there might be some resentment with Westbrook. But I think there's a little bit of a thing with those two. And Luka has to win that matchup because I think the Clippers are going to, if you look down the roster, like if Kawhi is not 100%, like who's going to be guarding these guys? It's going to be like Terrence Mann, Russell Westbrook. PG's going to have to probably take more of a responsibility defensively, but Westbrook's going to be guarding both of our stars, and he's going to be annoying them. He's going to be doing Westbrook stuff. So, curious to see how both of them handle it.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Westbrook because, I mean, it sounds silly, but he's a guy who I think has the potential to really impact the series off the bench and just muck things up. And the Mavericks have to be ready for that kind of energy from him. They have to be ready for the chaos that he inserts into any lineup. And he's been really effective off the bench for the Clippers this season. On the note of the Westbrook-Luka rivalry, I think both of them respect each other. They're both super competitive guys. They're both Jordan brand guys. And if you remember, like Russell Westbrook faced off against Luka when Luka was with Real Madrid, I think back in 2016 or 2017 in a preseason game. So their history kind of dates back to then. But yeah, I mean, I think that's a matchup to watch, especially if Kawhi isn't healthy. Which, look, I think Kawhi could play game one. I don't believe that he's healthy, and I think that if Kawhi doesn't play it at 100%, that still gives the Mavericks an advantage. I keep saying this, you can't take them for granted, but I think, I guess that's my question. Do you think Kawhi Leonard is healthy?
I think he's definitely dealing with something in his knee because otherwise, I don't think you just miss like 20 days of NBA basketball unless you absolutely have to. And like basketball is a rhythm sport. Like you want somewhat of a rhythm. Like I know Luka and Kyrie rested the last two games of the season, but I mean, they played that Wednesday game against the Heat still. Like Kawhi hasn't played like since March 31st, about the same time as Derek Lively. And I think like in terms of play styles, like I think Kawhi, I don't know, it would feel like his skill set would need more of a rhythm than Derek Lively's skill set just in terms of like protecting the rim and stuff like that, not as much dribbling and whatnot. I think Kawhi is going to be really good this series, but I think the injury is going to come into a factor with the defensive side of it. And I don't think anyone on the Clippers besides Kawhi has a chance of guarding Luka.
Yeah, I think especially with Paul George, look, like both Kawhi and Paul George are 3 years older from the last time that the Mavericks faced them. I mean, I would still say that they're in their prime, but they're probably on the decline. I mean, Paul George is about to turn 34. Kawhi is about to turn 33 this year. Again, can't count them out, but I do think that they're not what they used to be in terms of being these physical lockdown defenders. The other thing that comes to mind in this series is pace, because in the Luka Doncic era, the Mavericks have been one of the slowest teams in the NBA. This year, that wasn't the case. They finished 10th in the NBA in number of possessions. I got to see what that translates to in terms of pace. I guess like we could look right here. They were seventh in the NBA in pace this season. The Clippers, on the other hand, were 20th in the NBA in pace. How much of that is going to matter in this series when the game often slows down in the playoffs?
I think it still is going to matter a ton. Like, I know that usually that's what happens in the past with like past playoff kind of cliches that the game slows down in the playoffs. But I think like as we kind of dive into this newer era of basketball, like I think the pace is going to be slower in the playoffs compared to the regular season. But I still think it's going to be like a more fast-paced game, but just in general across the sport. And that includes the Mavericks, and that's another difference with this Mavericks team as opposed to the last Mavericks team. And Kyrie Irving's a big factor in this, is the pace is different, and that's a big X factor that the Mavericks need to take care of, is the pace. They need to just run these guys up and down the gym as much as they can. I think we're going to see a lot of those little flashy Luka outlet passes this series. I think we just got to run up and down on these guys. You know, James Harden and some of the guys that are usually at the top of the key on offense, they're not going to get back on defense. So that's something that they absolutely have to attack.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. I think that the pace is where the Mavericks can win a game or two or win this series, quite frankly, because that's an advantage that the Mavericks have. The Mavericks can play fast, they can play slow, they can shoot threes, they can score in the paint. They have a lot of ways that they can win games. And I think that that's an advantage they have over the Clippers because the Clippers are an older team. Most of their core is in their 30s, in their mid-30s at this point. They're not as quick and athletic as they used to be. And I think the Mavericks got a lot quicker and more athletic at the trade deadline. That's a place that they can really put some hurt on the Clippers. Again, it just comes down to the Mavericks being able to impose their will on the Clippers. And I think that they're better equipped to do it this year because the play style from the Mavericks in those previous two Clippers series was very heavy drive and kick, shoot a three. If you make the three, great. If you miss the three, get burned in transition defense. The Mavericks don't have as much of that problem right now, which I think is great.
No, definitely. Shooting's probably the one thing that I will say, like the 2021 and 2020 teams had on this team. Like, but that's also by design. Like, the Mavericks had smaller teams back then, so they're like usually their guards are better at shooting than your bigger wings and centers. Shooting's like the one thing that, like, if I was a Mavs fan, I'd be most worried about, more so than even the defense. It'd just be like guys like Exum, PJ, Derrick Jones Jr.
I mean, even Tim Hardaway
Even
Jr.
Tim, even Tim, like I know Tim's like just in there to shoot, but he hasn't even been making his open shots like consistently. Like that's my biggest thing with Tim, is like even beyond, like I'll live with some of like the bad rhythm plays or the, knucklehead turnovers or whatnot, but like if you can't make your open threes consistently, like I don't see 0 point for you being out there. Same with Josh Green. Like I know all these guys, some of these guys have had good shooting seasons just off the percentages, but it's still like different. Like they're gonna make you show it in the playoffs, and you have to prove it, and they can't get in their heads. Like all these guys at times have gotten in their heads about shooting open threes and passing it up. All these guys have, literally, include Maxi to the group too. Like they've all been in mental funks where they've been scared to shoot, and that just can't happen in a playoff series.
Yeah, definitely. The Mavericks don't want to be in a position too where they're relying on the three to bail them out again. I think the Mavericks need to impose their will in the beginning of the games and really put an emphasis on getting into the paint. The three-pointer should be an accessory for them, but I don't think it needs to be the primary way that they play in this series, and they shouldn't be lulled into a situation where they have to rely heavily on the three because, the three gives, but it also takes. I mean, in that 2021 series, the Mavericks were shooting the lights out from three in the first couple games of the season, and then after, or couple games of the series, and then after that, the three-point shooting dried up, and it became a lot more difficult for the Mavericks to produce offense outside of Luka Doncic. They don't have that problem now, but they need to make sure that they can continue to play that way.
Yeah,
Let's see. Go ahead.
I expect Luka drives in general to go up in the playoffs. I mean, we'll see, because this is his career year in shooting, and I still want him to take I want him and Kyrie to take a bunch of threes, if I'm being honest. But also, like, first priority should be to at least touch the paint, and both of them I think will increase their drives more. But the th both of them shooting threes is why like our offense is able to function like it does, because it just completely spaces out the floor. It just completely threatens the defense, and Like you saw with the Pelicans yesterday, like as great as Zion is, like, you know, defenses that just like kind of sag back and kind of like, you know, close the court for other players.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think this leads me to this question now is who are the X factors for both teams? We've talked about a few different guys. But let's start with the Mavericks. Who would you say is the X factor for the Mavericks?
Know. That's a tough one. I'll probably say PJ Washington because he's going to be the primary defender on Kawhi Leonard. I almost was thinking about saying Derek Lively, but I'm going to say PJ Washington because he's going to play more. I expect PJ Washington to probably be around 40 minutes every game. And he's going to have the hardest defensive task of everyone. I'm assuming he's going to be guarding Kawhi. Maybe it's Derek Jones on Kawhi or whatever Jason Kidd decides to do. But also on the offensive end, like there's going to be times the Clippers dare him to shoot and it's going to happen. And he has to just take him. What I like about PJ is he's usually confident in shooting his threes. Like he's never usually passing them up. Like he's bricked a ton while he's been here. He's been shooting better lately, but that's the thing. He just has to keep being confident with his 3-point shot. Just keep shooting them and, you know, make the open ones that the Clippers are going to give him.
Yeah, I have to say PJ Washington also. I was thinking about saying Kyrie Irving, but I think it's understood that he needs to be
But X factors aren't stars.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's understood that he has to be one of the best players in the series for the Mavericks to win. But PJ Washington, like you said, he's going to be assuming that role that the Mavericks gave to Maxi Kleber and Dorian Finney-Smith in those prior series and that they're the primary defenders on Kawhi Leonard. But then, like you said, on offense, I think the Clippers are going to dare him to shoot. And if he's knocking down his threes, as we've seen in the regular season, it's going to be tough to beat the Mavericks because the Clippers are already going to have their hands full with Luka and Kyrie. Now you add PJ Washington to the mix, makes it very difficult for the Clippers. So if PJ Washington is shooting the three at 40% or even in the high 30s, I think that the Mavericks are going to win this series.
If he's a consistent third option, which I don't think he's going to be a consistent third option every night, but if he hypothetically was a consistent third option every night, like this team would be playing into June, like no doubt about it.
Exactly. And I think, you know, that's the one thing with the Mavericks. You can't quite point to who their third best player is. It could be PJ Washington on some nights. It could be Tim Hardaway on some nights. Could be Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford on other nights.
Which nights
But
are those that Tim Hardaway is the third best
yeah,
player?
I guess maybe not so much these days, but in the past it used to be him. But yeah, you know, I think if PJ Washington can sort of morph into that third player for the Mavericks, again, I think that their ceiling is going to look even higher than we've thought it was right now. On the other side, for the Clippers, who do you think is the X factor for them?
I said earlier, I think it's Russell Westbrook. I, for some reason, think that he's going to be on the stars a lot. Him and Terrence Mann are going to be on the stars a lot. Kawhi is pro I mean, I think Paul George, I don't know. I think Paul George is going to be asked to do a little bit more defensively than I guess he's done in the past. But I mean, Luka has Paul George's number, like for sure. So I don't know how that's going to work. But I would say Russell Westbrook just because. Like I said, I think he's going to have a big defensive responsibility in the series. And, you know, Clippers fans, I saw like in the this week, we're saying that maybe he should start. He might be inserted into the starting lineup like games 3 or 4 just because, you know, if the Mavericks are cooking them and don't have enough defense in the starting lineup that they might have to make a move. But I don't think it'll get to that. But that's who my X Factor pick would be for the Clippers is Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, I don't mean to copy you, but I also think it's Russell Westbrook too, just because, like I said, of the energy that he injects into the Clippers lineups, you know, he's very comfortable playing a chaotic style of basketball. He's very comfortable playing hard. I think that's his biggest attribute is just how hard he plays. And if the Mavericks aren't ready for that, it could cause problems. But I think that they will be prepared to deal with Russell Westbrook. But I do think that he's the X factor for them. So I think finally, we've talked about a lot of stuff. I don't know if you have any other topics before I get to this final point.
I think I'm good.
So yeah, I guess the final thing I got to ask you is what do the Mavericks need to do to win this series? As in, like, what's the recipe or the formula they need to follow to put themselves in a position to win this series?
Luka and Kyrie be Luka and Kyrie. Make your open threes. and then keep doing what you've been doing defensively, and that includes focus from everyone on the floor, not just your best defensive players, but your stars included too. Your stars at times might be asked to guard one of these stars. They might be asked to guard Russell Westbrook, or not Russell Westbrook. They might be asked to guard James Harden or Paul George at times, and they have to be able to step up. They can't just, you can't just switch off of everything in basketball. Sometimes you have to just guard one-on-one ISO. And I think both of them are capable of doing so. I think if you have all those ingredients that the Mavericks can win, and I think they can win shorter than some people are even thinking.
Yeah, I think for me, what the Mavericks got to do, like you said, Luka and Kyrie got to be superstars. They got to be the best players in this series. And I think that the Mavericks should lean on the things that made them successful in the regular season. Play fast, score in the paint, don't get lulled into shooting the three too much, and compete hard on defense. You have the personnel to do things. You have the personnel to play competent defense without having to without having to compensate for weak defenders like you had in the past. So I think just take advantage of your physicality, your athleticism, take advantage of the new rules, and I think that the Mavericks will be in good position to win this series. And finally, what's your series prediction, Vinay?
Mavs in four.
You're gonna say Mavs in four. Interesting. To
Think
be
here's what
honest,
happens. Here's what happens. Hear
go
me
for it,
out.
go for it.
I mean, I don't know what's gonna happen for real. That's just like, I don't know. This is what I'm feeling right now. Here's what I think. Here's the formula. Mavericks go into LA, win the first two. Clippers are a mentally weak team, and they just kind of fall apart from there. And the Mavericks take the next two and seal the deal. I don't know if that's what's going to happen, but that's what I'm guessing right now.
It's possible. I mean, this does have the makings of a
Did anyone
potential.
think the Mavericks were going to beat the Lakers in 2011? Did anyone have
No,
any?
actually, no one did. If you look at all the predictions, no one thought that the Mavs were going to beat the Lakers.
I'm
And
saying is crazier stuff has happened. I don't know. I
no,
could see it just being a
you're not
short
off base
series
with
with
that.
the hype on both sides, and maybe the Clippers take the first two and make it a short series on their end. You never know. But like, just for how I feel like about this Mavericks team, and just kind of how the vibes are with both teams, and I don't know. I think that they could take the first two in LA and then just kind of just choke them out at home.
I mean, this certainly has the makings of that. I mean, Clippers, like I said, they're an older team. They've underachieved relative to who they have on their roster, and it's been that way for the last few years. Paul George is an upcoming free agent. James Harden is an upcoming free agent. Their futures are very much unresolved at this point. So I could definitely see it being a short series. I have to give two predictions. I have to give a Kawhi is healthy prediction and a Kawhi is not healthy prediction, just because I feel like that really changes it for me. If Kawhi is not healthy, I could see this being Mavs in five. If he is healthy and playing up to the level that we've seen him in the past, I do think that this could be a very competitive, long series in which it goes to seven games. I'll take the Mavs in seven in that situation too, because I think that the Mavericks are due to finally beat the Clippers. I think it's very difficult to lose three straight series to the same team. So in any case, I'm taking the Mavs. If Kawhi is not healthy, I'm going to take them in five. If Kawhi is healthy, I'm going to take them in seven.
How are you gonna put in qualifications for your series predictions after I go? You can't do the whole now you get two predictions thing.
Well, I mean, I didn't expect you to put two predictions out there. That was just the way I was thinking about it. I'm not feeling bold enough to say Mavs in five regardless. But I
All
respect
right,
your
I'm gonna
opinion.
amend my Mavs in four to Mavs in five.
Okay.
And then if Kawhi is fully healthy, I think it's going to be Mavs in five. And if Kawhi is not healthy, I think it's going to be Mavs in four.
I like the confidence, man. I would love that too, because the more rest the Mavericks can get, the better equipped they'll be to play in the
Even
second
about the
round.
rest. I just think I don't know. I just have like the type of feelings with this matchup. Like, I just don't think the Clippers match up as well as they used to in the past, if I'm being honest. Like, I don't think they have anyone for Kyrie, the whole roster. I think they have less answers for Kyrie than they do Luka, as crazy as that sounds. I just don't think there's anyone on the team, on the Clippers team, that can match Kyrie's quickness.
No, I agree with that. And one thing we didn't even talk about this entire episode is that Luka is a much better player than he was in those 2020 and 2021 series. He's improved so much since then as a shooter, as a facilitator, as a defender, as a scorer in general. Like, he's become one of the greatest scorers of all time since then. So that's something that the Mavericks have in their to their advantage. And so, like you said, I think with the Clippers team being older, now you don't have to just deal with Luka, you have to deal with Kyrie Irving, who's playing as well as he's ever played in his career. It's going to be very tough, and there's going to be a lot of pressure on both Kawhi and Paul George to be two-way superstars for the Clippers, for them to have a chance in this matchup.
Everyone always talks about how, I mean, the Mavericks just stopped shooting hot after game two of the 2021 series, which is fair. But I think the biggest thing for me for why the Clippers came back and won that series is because the Clippers just made a decision. I don't know when, maybe during game three, just to keep attacking the rim because they got nothing at the rim. And once they decided to do that, I mean, the Mavericks had to go to Boban in the starting lineup and stuff like that. I mean, it was really like embarrassing for KP. I don't know if Celtics fans, like when they talk about why was Luka not better with KP, I think they should revisit some of the stuff that the Clippers themselves were saying during the playoff series about what our rim protection was. Paul George said we didn't have a rim protector when KP was like healthy and playing for us. So, you know, that's what it was like. And I think, like, I mean, we talked about it earlier, but like having Gafford and Lively in there just completely different than what we've had in the past.
No, I agree with that. I mean, people forget, again, people forget just how bad the Mavs' rim protection was in that series. Boban Marjanovic should not even have been playing, and he was a starter in the final two games of that series. That just, you know, once the Clippers realized that they could get to the rim at will, that changed the series. Like you said, it made the Mavericks more deflated and more physically worn down, and as a result, they couldn't play their game, and it resulted in the Clippers changing the dynamic of that series and winning. But I think the Mavericks are better equipped, much better equipped, to stop the Clippers and win this series this time around. So, Vinay, you got anything else before we close this episode up?
Mavs in five, 16 to go.
Mavs in five, baby.
But one game at a time.
The time is now. The time is now. You know, the Mavericks have only advanced past the first round three times in the last 5 years. So I think we're due, sorry, in three times in the last 15 years. So we're due for a series win. Let's hope that we can get this, we can make
You
quick
would pull up
work
the
of the
Doomer
Clippers.
stats.
Well, it's not a doomer stat. It's just like you think about it and it's like, damn, you know, we deserve better.
Look, we haven't had Luka for 15 years.
I know we haven't.
Okay,
We haven't.
we don't need to bring up past trauma all the time with everything we do. We
No,
have this
I'm
team
not
now.
trying to. I'm just saying that now is like the most
This team
optimistic I've
now.
ever felt as a Mavs fan. And I think that now is the time to, you know, I don't know. I think that we finally have the team that we deserve with Luka Doncic. And I think that this is hopefully the beginning of a multi-year run with him. But we got to start with game one of the Clippers. So thanks, Vinay, for joining me on this episode of the Mavs Film Room podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you soon. If you haven't done so yet, follow us on Twitter at Mavs Film Room so you never miss any of the great content that we put out. Subscribe to our feeds on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts so you never miss an episode. We'll be hopefully doing podcasts after every playoff game this series and hopefully in future series too. So definitely don't miss those. And we thank you guys for listening all season long to the Mavs Film Room podcast. It really means a lot to us. So go Mavs, and we'll see you soon.